You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts on Netroots Radio or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for May 14th, 2021. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where both of our local Republican congresspeople, Rodney Davis and Darren LaHood, were so busy learning to tie their shoes, they just plumb forgot to vote on the Liz Cheney thing. Oopsie! It's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
They're trying real hard to avoid controversy.
It's like they're riding the political New York subway. They don't want to have eye contact with anyone.
Yep.
Who might ask them anything.
And yet they sent an email to their constituents who were on their email list, including me.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodney Davis bragged about being the most bipartisan congressperson.
I'm multi-partisan. I want to partisan everybody. I want to get all up in your face with my bipartisanship. And, you know, except for the fact that I vote for the Republican Party 99.3%
of the time.
And yeah. I am a complete and abject coward. However, that makes him a pretty typical Springfield Republican.
Yeah.
I'm actually a douchebag. I side with the worst people on earth, but I'm too big of a coward to actually be upfront about my beliefs. So I snivel around and straddle a fence and change the subject. Oh, that's pretty much Springfield Republicans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and they would tell themselves that they're being nice.
Sure.
So, but then they vote to take away my health insurance and I don't think they're nice anymore.
That's the niceness trap. It's,
yeah,
I want to vote to take away your health care. But when you bring it up, you're not being nice.
That's it. When you bring up the past, you're being, you know, so partisan and shrill.
The past can be 5 minutes ago. But it's some shit we did. It really is like the difference between, I don't know, let's say certain MSNBC hosts on television and certain MSNBC hosts on Twitter. They're a lot saltier on Twitter and have a lot more, you know, clearly defined opinions on Twitter than they would ever dare speak out loud on camera. And so the people who are Springfield Republicans, let's say, have real salty opinions and are highly approving of the horrible shit their party does inside Congress and inside the State House. When it comes to, you know, talking about politics, we don't want to talk about that stuff.
Yeah,
That's rude.
Drift Glass, I've got a little bit of housekeeping to do with our listeners.
Okay.
May is just the perfect month to write us, and it's the perfect month to donate to us because this is the month, and this has been true since I started blogging in 2004. May is the month that is the lowest month for letters, that's the lowest month for traffic, that's the lowest month for donations, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody goes out to their gardens or discovers the outdoors or
takes their masks off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the month that it's the perfect month to write to us. And besides, we have a letter show coming up in 2 weeks. So
yes, we do.
Write to us. You can write to us at the address that's at the beginning of the show via USPS Go Postal Unions. Or you can send us an email at proleftpodcast@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear what you're thinking, what you're reading, what you're congressional situation is. Do you have a good congressman or a bad congressman?
What are we doing wrong? How are we failing you in some way?
Write to your spiritual mom and dad and let us know how you're doing. Write home. Think of it as writing home.
Write home, write often.
Get us up to date with your goings on.
As soon as you find work,
send us an internet kitty.
Yeah, as soon as you find work, write home. That's what we're saying.
We hope everyone's finding work.
We do.
Did you want me to start with Elie Mystal and unpacking the court?
You jump right into that.
Well, he was just right again. You know, he's my TV husband. And, you know, he's married with kids and I'm married with kids, but I consider him my TV husband.
It's Elie Mystal. The Brady Bunch, really, the TV Brady Bunch.
And he was talking about voting rights and all these voting rights acts that are, you know, we're trying to get these two voting rights bills passed out of the Congress. Today there was a bit of a, you know, wrench thrown into the works where West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has come up with a new idea, which I think is really interesting. Mm-hmm. He wants to go back to the the days of where there was clearance, which is what you know, the Supreme Court voted down, right? They removed clearance, pre-clearance.
Let's put here the Roberts Court.
Voted the Roberts down. Court
yeah.
said we don't need pre-clearance anymore. Right.
Racism is over, so we don't need pre-clearance anymore.
So we don't need pre-clearance anymore. What pre-clearance means is that certain states like Georgia and Texas, who have a history of denying civil rights of voters, particularly voters of color, had to get pre-clearance from, I believe it's the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department.
Yes.
In order to make changes to their election law.
Right.
So what Joe Manchin is suggesting is take the claim of racism out of it and simply make every single state in the union, all 50 of them, required to have pre-clearance from the Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division, before they make changes to their election law. Now, I think the Roberts Court is going to toss that out.
Right. They already have.
So I think that's not good. You know, that goes against states' rights. And you know.
And you can't put that through through reconciliation.
You're right. And it's not a situation where you can withhold funding from. I mean, part of what is going on with the H.R. 1 is it's money for vote by mail. You can say, look, we're giving states money for vote by mail for federal elections. So at any rate, it's an interesting idea. But what Ali Mistal said was, I can't count to five. I'm looking at the Supreme Court and I cannot count to five votes for civil rights, for voting rights, for actually.
They're just not.
They're just not there.
Right.
And pointing out that, you know, as I've said many times before, Mitch McConnell stacked the court and we need to unstack it.
Right.
And that's the meme that I'm pushing, and I think everybody needs, that's the language we should be using when we talk about this. We are unstacking and righting a wrong.
The 40-year project to pack the courts so that whatever crazy, awful, craven shit Republicans do could not be undone in the courts, it has finished. I mean, there's still
they've
more.
They've succeeded. Yeah.
They've succeeded. And for 90% of that period of time, all of those Republicans who are now shocked at the Republican Party's full of Republicans were completely okay with that.
Totally okay.
No objection. They didn't object to Merrick Garland's seat being stolen from Barack Obama. Didn't object to that at all. It was only when the monster came out of the machine that they had built and said, excellent, here's what we're going to do, that they suddenly shit themselves and started looking for recourse. Well, recourse would come through the courts, which you have polluted and destroyed. So now we get these ridiculous arguments from people like Joe Manchin about how can we undo all the damage that was done by the Republican Party in a bipartisan way that has Republican approval.
Yeah.
Well, fuck you. You can't. Well, then it's just impossible then. It just can't be done. Well, it could be, but you are that unicorn who would absolutely lose any cachet you have, any political capital you have, if suddenly the Democratic Party had 54 senators.
Right.
And was willing to bust the filibuster to get things through.
And we need to get there in 2022. Yeah. We need to, as I said before, de-mansion the Senate, de-cinema the Senate majority, make sure we don't need those votes to win a budget vote, basically.
Well, and I'd like to jump down our notes a little bit because this bears right on it. In Mother Jones, Ari Berman and Nick Sergi have a really long piece and a leaked video from the far-right dark money group Heritage Action, which is a splinter group of the Heritage Foundation.
I wrote this up this morning for Kirks and Lyons.
Oh, then you could. Why don't you run with it? Because it really does fall right into the, how the hell did we get to a point where all of these Republican legislatures are all passing the same legislation at lightning speed? Well, step one is fuck up the courts so there's no objection to it. So nobody there's no place to go to overturn it because now we own the courts. But the second thing is, you have this group writing model legislation.
And they also have people inside the states to pretend that it's a locally generated activity.
Yeah, that was the part that
Heritage Action has seeded, put in this, planted the seeds in these states, Texas, Iowa, Florida, etc. To say, oh, no, this is coming directly from Joe, who's a local person, who's a state person, who's a state official or a state party person. And they bought that.
Well, and the quote from the executive director.
Yes, is, who was on video bragging to her donors about what she's doing.
Said, we have a sentinel on our behalf give them the model legislation so it has that grassroots from the bottom up type of vibe.
Yep.
You know, so they can
and they Iowa started early. It up. They started early in Iowa and were amazed at how easy it was.
They
just get this stuff right through because Republicans.
Yeah. And again, another direct quote from their executive director that they work quietly with the Iowa legislature. We got the best practices to them. We helped them draft the bills. We made sure activists were calling the state, getting support, showing up at public hearings. Little fanfare. Honestly, nobody even noticed. My team looked at each other and we're like, it can't be that easy. And it was.
But it is that easy because we've also destroyed the local media covering the State House.
I was just going to say, there is no more local media really anywhere covering what goes on at the State House.
Yeah.
And this is why. This is why Gatehouse Media is buying up papers and shredding them and giving you, you know, two pages of obituary in sports and a human interest story and a bunch of stuff from the Associated Press.
That doesn't go to the State House.
No.
Right.
So having destroyed local media and destroyed the courts, once again, Joe Manchin is looking for some way to get stuff done without having to actually do anything. And
but I feel fine now, Driftglass, because there's 100 Republicans who are going to break off and stand up for their principles.
Oh, God, yeah. That's very exciting. I wrote up a whole thing today about that blue gal. you should probably go to my blog and read the much longer version of this, which is entitled 100 Inconsequential Ex-Republicans Bold Plan to Virtue Signal the GOP Out of Existence. And it's just, it's, you know, they got Scaramucci. You know how hard it is to nail Scaramucci? Yeah, they got Scaramucci in there. Once they get David Jolly on board, they'll have not one but two failed one-term Republican congressmen.
You know, they only printed out enough copies for each of the MSNBC bookers.
Yeah, these are the people who you might recall from the Lincoln Project who said, oh, no, we're not going to start our own political party. That's never been the plan. Who are now starting their own political party because that was always the plan.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of people from the Bulwark podcast. It's glorified podcasters, unemployed GOP politicians and media flacks there's 100.
And it's no labels.
Yeah.
It's no labels. Way.
It's every, every guest who's been on the Bulwark for the last 6 months is signed on. Mm-hmm. It's the Purple Project. It's
Purple
the
Project.
Problem Solver Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And who aren't quitting any of their things because they're all trying to run the same scam, which is, well, we don't want to be Democrats because, you know, secretly we know there are a bunch of socialist zombies who want to, you know, destroy America. But we can't say that because we have to pretend that. And we certainly don't
love our tax cuts.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If you read the fine print of their principles of this thing, you'll find. And we love free markets. And we believe in, you know, fiscal responsibility and we believe in prudent regulation, which means no regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right down. Look, this is the holy writ that St. Ronald Reagan brought down off the mountain. And it's all the same shit they believed for years. It's just we don't want Donald Trump part of it. Right. We want all the same horrible stuff that got us where we are now.
Well, they also want to ignore the ugly white angle of the Republican base, the Klan angle of the Republican
base,
which
we're 84% of their base,
84% of the Republican base is adjacent to that, at least. Well, not within it.
And here's the thing: there are now at least two Republican parties, although it's really like 17 of them. But one of them actually exists and is led by Donald Trump and has 74 million voters and has control of Congress and has fucked up the courts and has Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy in it. So that's the actual Republican Party. Then there's the MSNBC Green Room Republican Party, which is these people. And one party, that party wants to go back to 2014 with Trump's base intact.
Right.
They want to have it both. Because remember, 2014 was the machine opening up and spewing out Donald Trump.
Right.
They want to go back to exactly the same conditions that created the opportunity for Trump to come out. But they want Jeb to show up this
time. Right, I was going to say. It was going to be Jeb.
Right.
And it was going to be Scott Walker for vice president.
Yeah.
And they were going to be a tax-cutting, union-busting party.
And it really is. So you're taking, you know, eggs and flour and sugar, and you're trying to make a tire out of it. No. the ingredients you have in your party will produce this thing every single fucking time because those are the ingredients you built into the party. And they cannot accept that. They come up with some very wild theories as to why, you know, it's everyone else's fault but theirs. But they cannot accept that their party is a machine designed to create monsters. So mm-hmm. you have one party that wants to go back to 2014 and pretend that Trump never happened, and that he has some magic Green Lantern powers that made everything bad. And there's the other party that just wants to go forward with Trump. And the problem is, with these 100 plus, you know, out of work Republican polls and glorified podcasters, is they want to believe that Donald Trump was the result of some Faustian bargain mm-hmm. that was struck by the GOP in 2016, which is not true. Donald Trump is the devil coming for his due from all the other Faustian bargains the GOP has already struck in 1964 and 1968 and 1980 and 1994 and on and on and on, which they will not acknowledge ever happened.
Right, right.
So it's kind of ridiculous. And this all grows out of the Liz Cheney thing. In the article I wrote up that is, I got to say, very funny. You should go look at it and read it and send money to me. It's all great. But it really is there. The reason you would know about this group of 100 Republicans, it's been in every goddamn paper all week, repeatedly. I found three different Washington Post articles published over the course of 2 days about this amazing new group that might do some really cool shit, but maybe not. We're not sure. Are you a political party? I don't know, but we'll take Venmo. That's what I do know. So it is worth noting that that the media and these out-of-work glorified podcasters are trying to wish into existence a completely different Republican Party that cannot exist because it doesn't have any support anywhere from mm-hmm. anyone except mm-hmm. them. Except, you know, they control the microphones and they control the cameras and they control the newspaper, so they can pretend whatever they want. But it is ludicrous to pretend that it's going to go anywhere, but it will be making them money. And that, I think, is the most important
thing. And I think that Donald Trump has his hooks deep, deep into WinRed.
Oh, yeah.
He is their leading fundraiser. The Republican Party is sending out texts with Donald Trump's name on it. This was brought up on Fox.
I know. That was funny.
Five times a day, they're mm-hmm. saying, Donald Trump wants you to donate. And it's clear to me, this is, like you say, when you put eggs and flour and sugar in a bowl, you're making pancakes. Or right. You're making something
yeah.
with carbs in it.
Yeah.
And when you put Donald Trump and money and political donations and the only reliable grassroots fundraising for the Republican Party is Donald Trump and QAnon.
And that's stop the it. Steal. Stop the steal.
Stop. Well, yes, that's mm-hmm. that's the beautiful keyword for both of them, QAnon right. and Trump, is mm-hmm. stop the steal. So WinRed, we talked about this last week, and I'm not going to get into it. Go listen to last week's episode if you haven't already. But WinRed, for profit, mm-hmm. keeping the profits even when they refund the money, and Donald Trump's your number one source of income, you're not going to mess with that. And you said last week, you know, Donald Trump, a Republican is whoever Donald Trump says is a Republican.
Yeah.
So if you're a rhino, does WinRed have the ability to just turn you off and say, no, you can't fundraise on our platform?
Well, I don't know who rhinos are anymore. At least Stefanik's a rhino.
Well, I know. But yeah. Donald Trump, if Donald Trump doesn't think she's a rhino, that now means she gets elected like she did this morning to exactly. House leadership. So yeah.
And
there you go.
And this is the part where the Republican Party is playing all their cards face up.
Mm-hmm.
We all can see what you are doing. And mm-hmm. that's the sign of a party that doesn't care anymore. It doesn't care. It's immune to shutting down their fundraising because they have right. enough, you know, racist morons who will send them money regardless. It's immune to criticism because they just don't listen to anyone who tells them anything they don't want to hear. They're immune to media scrutiny because the only media they have is, you know, Newsmax and hate radio and Fox News.
And they also have a number of existential crises facing them that keep their voters terrified.
Yeah.
Socialism, abortion, pedophilia, and all the mm-hmm. Democratic scare words. What they're really afraid of is death. And yeah. they're getting old, and it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to read your important democracy safety tip that we have shared before. But this is kind of the coda on the whole argument.
Well, this touches on Liz Cheney, who was one of the two big news stories this week. But mm-hmm. I've heard it so many times in the last couple of weeks from people who really want me to love Liz Cheney. Mm-hmm. And I just won't do it. That when you hear someone say that something is not about red or blue or Democrats and Republicans, or it's not about partisanship or policy, remember, it is definitely about Democrats and Republicans, and it is definitely about partisanship and policy. Mm-hmm. Every time, mm-hmm. every single time. And, you know, it's like when someone says it's not about the money, you put your hand on your wallet.
Right.
And you back slowly away, because that's what they're there for. Every time you hear someone talking about this is not a red or blue issue, it's because Republicans have fucked something up horribly. And bringing that up would be incredibly embarrassing or counterproductive to the person who's doing the talking. So they have to pretend this is about America and Americans. It's about humans and people who live on the planet. No, it's about one group being insane and fucking things up, and one group trying to fix that and stop that group at the same time. Simple as that. So, important safety tip, people. Just remember that.
Complete the thought about Liz Cheney not being Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Oh, well, this is something that you and I, you know, discussed this week. Last week I said, let's not talk about Liz Cheney anymore. I'm sick and tired of Liz Cheney, but, you know, events have overtaken poor little me. And I want to make something very clear. Liz Cheney is not Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Liz Cheney was not some doomed Cassandra, you know, wandering Europe, warning about the rise of Nazism and the National Socialist Party in the 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. She is a full-blooded member of the Republican Reich and only got interested in knocking off the Dear Leader once the Dear Leader was vulnerable and out of power, and once the war had turned against them and they knew they were doomed. She is not a hero. She is not brave and bold. She has made a cold-blooded, Cheney-like political calculation that it is now safe to take on Donald Trump because, A, he ain't there no more, and, B, the party's kind of fucked, so maybe it's time to step out. And that's it.
I would point out two other things about Liz Cheney. One is she's got her own fundraising apparatus. As you and I both know, as a mother and a patriot, I've received copies of her fundraising letters.
Oh, yeah.
in email. As a mother and a patriot, she said when she pulled out of the Senate race in Wyoming, she can buy and sell the entire Wyoming media market 12 times over with her daddy's war money. So that's she's settled. She doesn't need WinRed to get a campaign war chest going. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think Liz Cheney has access to national security information that she's not telling anybody.
Yeah, she's wired in.
And I don't think she told anybody when Trump was, you know, bowing down to Putin in ways that we don't know.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if she knows what went on between Putin and Trump, because the translator or somebody, and I'm not trying to make up a bunch of conspiracies here, but it would be irresponsible not to speculate what Liz Cheney knows about national security vis-a-vis Russia. Okay?
You mean she hasn't earned your trust with her long...
As a mother and a patriot? No, she has not. But she knows a lot more than what she's saying about, you know, because she doesn't want her whole party, like you say, to go down as the party that enabled this. She's willing to let Ron Johnson go, but she's not willing to let her entire party go. So I really liked your, you know, he's not Dietrich Bonhoeffer. She's not Dietrich Bonhoeffer. She's not the long-suffering patriot who has always stood for the American way.
She's wearing the SS on her shoulder, and she's got the Iron Cross, and she's a multiple awarded veteran of the Reich. And now it's 1944.
Right.
And the Allies are closing in. And now it's time to get on board with the Dear Leader was never right. Why, I think it's time to go off and do it a different direction. Because you're fucked and you know it.
And you now want to be a rocket scientist in northern Alabama.
Yeah, that's good. I love it. Or if I may put it this way, that's a bingo.
That's a bingo.
That's a bingo. Yeah, and you know what? As I've said this for the last 3 years, if you want the Hans Landa deal, that's from Inglourious Bastards, you have to pay the Hans Landa price.
Get a swastika carved in your forehead.
Yeah, that's a little extreme for me. But you better end the war and wipe out the entire party in one night now.
Right.
If you can't do that, fuck you. I don't have any use for you. If you can't end this war, if all you can do is have 100 of you huddled over in a Ramada in conference room, talking about, we're going to take the party back. No,
and
you're not.
Sending your press release to the MSNBC bookers.
That's not the same. If you would like to share with the public who has what on Lindsey Graham and specifics and photographs that would destroy his life and career, great. But you're useless to us unless you can do that. And this makes
okay. Okay, time out. Time out. I want this. This brings another point that I've been thinking about all week.
All right.
The Republican Party depends on us being couth.
Yes.
In order to continue on, we don't talk about Lindsey Graham's sex life. We don't talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene and her tantric sex guru and having.
Well, we do.
And what you do all the time.
Yeah.
But that's the point, is they depend on Chuck Todd not bringing that up.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely.
And we need to bring that up. Mm-hmm. that these are nasty people doing nasty things
and
hiding it and pretending that they're family values.
Here's what I have found to be intensely frustrating. There mm-hmm. are a cohort of battle-hardened liberal blogger veterans who are very mm-hmm. good with words, who can sit on camera and make these points eloquently without screaming swear words every few seconds, who can do graphics, who can do videos, who can, you know, a five-tool player. There's a bunch of us out there, mm-hmm. none of whom the liberal media wanted to have a damn thing to do with.
Right.
Until Donald Trump came along. And then they said, who shall fight for us? Hey, let's get Rick Wilson to do this for
us.
Yeah. Like, well, wait a minute. No. What about Rick Wilson built this shitty thing. How about getting someone? And then, of course, you know, well, because Rick Wilson has friends like Nicole Wallace, and Charlie mm-hmm. Sykes has friends like Nicole Wallace, and Michael Steele has friends like Nicole Wallace. So let's fill up the airwaves with the real fighters and who can fight, because, you know, they've been fighting they've been fighting for years. They've been losing for years. Rick Wilson has a long history of losing elections, of fighting shitty, dirty elections. But he's a tough guy. He's a fighter. Well, if all you want is a tough guy and a fighter, we've got plenty of them. You just won't talk to us because you don't want to hear what we have to say. But mm-hmm. now that the monster is loose, you go looking around for someone who knows how to stab at it, who knows how to talk about Lindsey Graham's sex life on camera. And it's like, pick any liberal out here. Nope, let's go with a former Republican, because we need to pretend the Republican Party still has heroes in it. And this is what drives our never Trump allies crazy. And I do understand why they're so frustrated, because I listen to, as you know, conservative podcasts, and there's always a 10-minute segment where they just rage against the left who just insist we've always been racist and just insist that we've always been wrong and won't get behind
this. You convinced me this week that Charlie Sykes listens to this podcast.
Oh, he does. I'm sure he does.
You convinced me of that.
I can play my comments and then play him 3 days later responding directly word
without
for word.
Saying your name, without saying my or name, your words or any. No. Yeah.
Because he doesn't, because they
then
have.
I give you the audience. Right.
Right. Because they have a 40 million person download and access to MSNBC, and they don't want to give us any attention. I understand that. I respect that, because because we're kicking their ass on a sort of a low level basis. But the point being, they're very put out. All of them are extremely put out. I listened to, I think it was Amanda Carpenter talking to him, basically yada, 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 Liz Cheney's entire record. Yeah, liberals hate her because, you know, she was for the Iraq War, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, let's unpack what you just think there. But now
lied the nation's way into keeping Guantanamo open. Yada, yada, yada.
Blah, blah, blah. And then Charlie Sykes chimes in with, yeah, they hate her because she's not for tax cuts, or she's for tax cuts or whatever. Like, no, I know that's what you hear in your tiny addled brain, but we actually have like a steamer trunk full of receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to put us on a microphone because we will open the steamer trunk and we will take apart the bullshit you just said. And point out, we have really good reason to not trust her or you at all.
Oh, I can provide chapter and verse of the U.S. on-duty generals who told Liz Cheney to shut the fuck up about Guantanamo and stop lying about it,
and
because
she's
hurting national security.
Yeah. And these people are never Trump allies, will tell us, whatever. But the real crisis is now upon us. So the real crisis is your party is exactly what we said your party was, and you wouldn't listen to us. But here's why I kind of understand it, because they don't have any heroes of conscience in their party to point to anywhere. All they can do is sort of look to Ronald Reagan, you know, way in the past, and a bunch of us saying, yeah, Reagan did this and this and this and this, which makes me very, very mad.
Yeah.
But who do any Republicans look to say, there's a good one?
Yeah.
None of them. They're all shit. They're all shit. And the fact that they are stuck in a party that's just nothing but scumbags and bloodthirsty lunatics.
It is Groundhog Day. The cash money industry is reinventing Republicans.
Yes.
Every time their president shits the bed.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nixon, Bush, and yes, we have a lot of receipts on Reagan, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
they,
we do.
They elevated Reagan because he died. So I'm going to totally change gears here, and we're going to talk about something that's I thought was the hilarious story of the week. As you probably know, Joe Biden is Roman Catholic.
Yes.
And there are some right-wing bishops and priests in the United States who think it's just terrible that Joe Biden is a pro-choice Democrat.
And one who's in our town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of the nutty right-wing bishops is in Springfield. He's a total whack job. Anyway, the U.S. Council of Bishops is going to meet on June 16th, and they're planning to vote on drafting a document on the issue of whether Joe Biden should be allowed to take communion.
Uh-huh.
Because he's pro-choice. And the head of the Vatican's doctrine office, his name is Luis Ladaria. He is a cardinal. And he's the prefect of the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Amen.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Wrote a letter he addressed it to Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles, who's president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, about this very issue and what the Vatican thinks the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops should do in this instance. And the letter, if you read it with an eye toward what are they really saying, is hilarious. First of all, Ladaria says, any new policy requires that dialogue occur in two stages, first among the bishops themselves, and then between bishops and Catholic pro-choice politicians within their jurisdiction. Then he said they should seek unanimous support within their ranks for any national policy. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. You mean,
because it shouldn't divide the U.S. church.
You mean they're going to bust the filibuster to...
We want unanimity. Yeah, that's never going to happen. Because, by the way, the Cardinal Wilton Gregory, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., has made clear that Biden is welcome to receive communion at churches in Washington, D.C.
Ruh-roh. Yeah.
Then, this is the part that I just fell over laughing. Ladaria made two other points. Number one, he said any new statement should not be limited to Catholic political leaders, but be broadened to encompass all church-going Catholics.
What?
Are you gonna... Then, to make it worse, it should not be just about abortion. I am very concerned about policy identifying abortion as the preeminent moral issue. It would be misleading if any new document were to give the impression that abortion and euthanasia alone constitute the only grave matters of Catholic moral and social teaching. So in other words, let's ask Newt Gingrich about adultery.
Adultery! Let's ask him multiple times.
Let's ask him about 6 years worth of adultery and his wife who just left the ambassadorship to the Holy See.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the most effective empty the pews plan I've ever heard.
Unbelievable.
Because there is
a deal between church-going Catholics and the Catholic Church in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Of come to church, get married in the church, get baptize your kids in the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, bury grandma in the church, and we won't ask you why you have two spaced-out kids.
Right.
You know, 2 years apart and no more.
And pay. Pay your tithe.
Yeah. Pay your, you know, donate to the church, and we will not ask questions about... We're having the same issue, by the way,
mm-hmm.
in the United Methodist Church
mm-hmm.
with, you know, the gay issue, which has been postponed by COVID, the resolution. And it's going to split the church, and the main church is going to go pro-gay priests and pro-gay ministers and, you know, allowing gays.
Pro-gay marriage and all that.
Pro-gay marriage, the whole thing.
All the sacraments will be allowed to everyone.
Absolutely. But, yep. When this was contentious in a meeting, there was someone who stood up with his rainbow sash on and just pointed up to the balcony and to the bishops and said, I know which ones of you are divorced and remarried.
Yeah.
You know. Uh-huh. So.
And which one of you are not divorced and are still carrying on outside the.
Anyway, it very, very. You know, here's how we're going to do this. Here's how we're going to nip this in the bud is it's going to apply to everybody who goes to church in the Catholic Church in the United States. And it's not going to be about just abortion. Let's check all of the moral rules.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We can't do that.
Now you're going to pivot this over to Ayanna Pressley, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, Ayanna Pressley rocked this week. She was on Chris Hayes. And she pointed out a connection between tear gassing Black Lives Matter protesters in the summer of 2020 mm-hmm. and enabling seditionists with a full-on history rewrite in 2021, you know, not noticing that they are carrying Confederate flags and waving around Auschwitz T-shirts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're just, as one congressman said, it was just like they were tourists. You know, they were just walking around like tourists in the Capitol building.
Like the British were in 1814, you know, just tourists.
Down the White House. Yeah.
Like Sherman was going through Atlanta, you know, just a tourist, just here to see the sights, you know.
But Ayanna Pressley said white nationalism is the connection between those two.
Yeah, obviously.
And the government of Donald Trump was white nationalist. And then Maria Teresa Kumar also had a good moment this week on MSNBC. Talking about her mother's experience, receiving Spanish language voter suppression information in the form of anti-vax disinformation. And Maria Teresa Kumar said that her mother, through WhatsApp, was receiving vaccine disinformation in Spanish. And the connection between that and voter suppression was really fascinating to me. The idea is to instill distrust of government among Spanish-speaking people. Don't trust the government. Don't trust the vaccine. The government's lying to you. The vaccine hasn't been tested on humans. And all of this is in Spanish from a woman in a white lab coat who claims to be from South America, explaining to you that, oh, this vaccine is so dangerous. And the idea of instilling distrust of government is both to keep Spanish-speaking Democrats home. When they do it in English, it's to push Republicans to vote the Biden socialist abortionists who want to, you know, put a Bill Gates chip in you.
Right.
We have to vote to get all of that out of office.
Right. That's terribly important.
So it is absolutely election manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to hear her connect that so clearly. So if you get a chance, both of those are up at Crooks and Liars. Ayanna Pressley's statement and Maria Teresa Kumar, both of those were really good moments. Finally, I cannot underline strongly enough how important the 22 midterms are. We can fix roads and bridges. And by the way, did you see that ad for over the Mississippi with the cracked bridge?
Yeah.
It was an ad for Biden's infrastructure bill.
Yeah. That's a
We can fix roads and bridges. We can care for college students and the elderly, or we can have 2 years of hearings on Chick-fil-A sauce shortages.
Yes.
Mr. Potato Head, Hunter Biden's laptop. Mm-hmm. We can do that instead, because that's what will happen if the Republicans gain control of either House of Congress. We will have nonstop hearings on Hunter Biden's laptop.
Well, and let's be very clear about why that is. This is something I do talk about fairly frequently, but it's really important that we not forget. The reason the Republican Party is the way it is because of the base of the party. That's
who
they are.
Are you going to talk about critical base theory, Driftglass?
No, I think I covered that last week pretty thoroughly.
I think you did.
But
I love that. It's so true.
And I get this filtered through, because Republicans, you know, pure blood Republicans, whether they be Liz Cheney or Lee Stefanik, will not talk about the Republican Party base. They won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's sort of the immutable foundation stone on which their entire party stands. And Liz Cheney wants to be a Republican. And Kevin McCarthy wants to be a Republican. They're all in the same party, so they don't dare talk about the base. The only people who are able to talk about the base, other than the left, who's been talking about the base for decades, are the people who have been tossed out of the party or walked out of the party or escorted to the door or whatever. And they're all former Republicans who are all were down with everything the Republican Party did until suddenly it lost its mind in 2015 by their calculation. And again, there's only two possible theories that cover the facts. One is Donald Trump does, in fact, have magic Green Lantern powers and converted 65 or 74 in the last election million Americans into racist zombies, or they were that way already. And it is the number of novel theories for how the base got to be this way that are multiplying inside the never Trump, anti-Trump, you know, fever swamp. It's all the liberals' fault. Calling us racist made us racist. what we should do is Democrats need to move more to the center, because we acknowledge the base is crazy, and that's really the Democrats' problem. That's, it's now their problem. They need to clean this up by becoming basically a center-right party so that we feel comfortable in their big tent. And just tracking the amount of cowardice and cravenness and excuse-making and I won't talk to an actual liberal because they might correct the lie that I live on bullshit that sustains these people is educational for me, because I already know what Fox News Republicans think. All I have to do is turn on an AM radio anywhere in the country, any time of the day, and I can hear what they're thinking because it's coming through hate radio. But the degree to which the people who want the party back but don't want Donald Trump are willing to invent fabulous fictions or just completely ignore it entirely. David Brooks wrote an entire column today about his friend Rod Dreher and how wokeness will go away. And it's like you're in the middle of a shitstorm. You're in the middle of a hurricane of catastrophe and ruin and fear and existential threat, all of which was created by your political party. And for I don't know how many umpteenth time, you've taken your piece of real estate and focused on the one issue that the imaginary issue that your Beltway, never Trump media friends are really worked up about. And you wrote an entire column which goes on the pile of all the other columns you've written about the woke culture and cancel culture and the cancel woke culture and what's going on elite college campuses, which A, really doesn't exist at all. And B, we on the left call accountability culture. And C, isn't really anything. It's a rounding error compared to all the shit that your party is up to. But it is this desperate need to avoid talking about the real problem, which there are 74 million people in this country who cannot be trusted with the basic citizenship, duties of citizenship. And that is a terrifying thing to contemplate in a democracy, which is why we need to make sure we win the midterms. Because these people are not getting any better. I've heard bruited about, that's a real word, by the way, you can look it up, that the problem with Democrats is that we're just taking the midterms as a cakewalk. I've heard Rick Wilson say this multiple times, and other people who want to position themselves as the real warriors in this fight. The problem with Democrats is they're not taking the midterms seriously. They think it's going to be easy. They're just going to breeze through. And you know, this whole idea that the fever is going to break once Trump is gone, I don't know any liberal anywhere who thought that was true. I don't know any liberal anywhere who thinks the midterms anything other than an existential crisis because of the way the deck is stacked against us. So I don't know who these people are addressing when they say, you should listen to me because I understand politics and I think the midterms are important, and don't listen to those Democrats who aren't taking this seriously at all. But it's this fantasy land that they all live in, where Democrats are just flighty idiots who don't take anything seriously, are not real fighters, and the base of their party is somehow not their fault. They didn't cultivate these people. They didn't pander to them. They didn't attract them. They didn't grow them. They didn't tell them they were brilliant. They didn't tell them their patriot, their paranoia was patriotism for decades. That was all someone else who did that, or it was liberals who did that. And those people really shouldn't have a public platform. They really shouldn't be crowding out actual liberal voices on radio or television or anywhere else. And I don't know how to fix that. But I know it's a problem, and I know it will continue to be a problem, because the net result of all of that noise at the mainstream media level is that everything gets normalized. Eventually, the game is the extreme left. Oh, by the way, this is in the platform of these 100 Democrats or these 100 Republicans who are part of this party, is they won't bend to the illiberalism.
Okay, get that out of your system. Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Part of the principles of these 100 ex-Republicans looking for work and glorified podcasters is they won't bend to the illiberalism and populism of the extreme left or the extreme right. So they've got the both-siderist base covered. And again, I don't know how to fix that. All I know is if the media continues to be the way it is, no matter what we do, this will all get normalized. And it'll all be just a horse race between two competing parties who both have problems, but, you know, that's politics. And that is a disaster for democracy in America.
Let's do a news roundup, Driftglass.
All right, Blue Gal, let's start off with the most important news of the week and probably the month and probably the year and a VE Day kind of announcement. The CDC said Americans who are fully vaccinated can safely go without masks or physical distancing in most cases, including indoors or in large groups.
More than 1 million people have signed up for the Affordable Care Act coverage during the special enrollment period that Biden launched in mid-February. Also, very quietly, the Biden administration has extended the registration period, the special enrollment period. It was supposed to expire tomorrow, May 15th.
Mm-hmm.
It's now August 15th.
Oh, my goodness.
Nobody said anything about that. Like, oh, okay.
Go ahead. This is what happens when you stop sabotaging a good government program.
Absolutely.
Or promoting a good government program.
Yeah. And just now it's just, well, you know, we've got this COVID thing and people are still adjusting to the world. And let's just extend it some more and get more people covered.
People need healthcare. Who knew? The FDA has authorized the Pfizer vaccine for children ages 12 and up, expanding access to the vaccine for millions of kids ahead of the next school year, to the relief of many parents, parents everywhere, I would imagine.
The Biden administration approved the nation's first large-scale offshore wind farm. Yay.
Yeah, yeah. And no one's talking about it. It's not Solyndra anymore.
We're
going to have wind. We're going to have solar. We're going to have nuclear, probably. The Biden administration announced new protections against discrimination in healthcare based on gender identity and sexual orientation.
And the president has their back, and I'm very proud of him for that.
Yeah.
63% of Americans approve of the job Biden is doing as president. 71% approve of his handling of the pandemic. And I heard a report from a former Republican congresswoman this morning who, now, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Uh-huh.
But she pointed out that Trader Trump has a 14% approval rating among independents.
Yeah. Well,
you can't win an election with that. But you know what? He might cheat his way into one.
I want to talk to those independents and find out why they call themselves independents.
No, because I'm an independent.
Yeah. This is where Grandpa Joe comes in and lectures people. He said that the White House will make it clear that people collecting unemployment benefits under the American Rescue Plan must take a suitable job offer or they'll lose their benefits, which I'm constrained to point out is already the rule in most states.
That's the rule.
Yeah.
You have to prove that you looked for work this week.
Right.
In order to continue to get benefits.
That's right. And you have to
prove that. But the very loud talking point at Fox News is people don't want to work and the government is paying them not to work, from people who are retired and are literally being paid not to work.
Well, and there's
anything wrong with being retired.
No. Well, and I put out this today or this week on social media that it looks to me like the people who are hesitant to go back to shitty jobs at shitty pay in petri dishes, it feels like a soft general strike.
Yeah, it does.
That people just, no, we're not going to do that. You want to pay us a living wage to work in a safe place? Happy to do it. We'll line up around the block for that. But you want to treat us like shit, pay us nothing, and expect us to work in an unsafe environment? Fuck you. We're not going to do it.
Well, and then people are finding out through social media how much the CEO of Chipotle makes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're really pissed at that point, you know, and rightly so. Biden's attorney general and Homeland Security Secretary, who, as a reminder, is the boringest.
He is the boringest.
He is the boringest cabinet member. Both testified that the greatest domestic threat to the United States is from those who advocate the superiority of the white race.
Yeah. They're also idiots, because if you just watch Fox News for 5 minutes, you can see that that's not much of a master race they have going on over there. Florida politician and Matt Gaetz's procurer, Joel Greenberg, is now expected to plead guilty and very likely drag Gaetz down with him.
Yes, his confession paper said that there was another adult male, actually males, plural, that he was having paid sex with underage people with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, the... I love this description of her drift glass. I don't know if I can read it, though.
I'll give it a shot if you can't, honey.
Okay, go ahead.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, the garbage bag of trailer trash hoarded... I'm sorry, one more time. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the garbage bag of trailer trash's hoarded gas come to life, aggressively confronted Representative Ocasio-Cortez and falsely accused her of supporting terrorists this very week.
She should be expelled.
She should be a lot of things.
Yeah.
If she's a bag of hoarded trailer trash gas, maybe flicking some matches at her would start moving her in the right direction.
Light up
I don't
a cigarette
know.
There, Marge. Okay. Florida officials are reportedly preparing contingency plans, quote unquote, for a Trump indictment as the Manhattan District Attorney's criminal investigation enters its final stages.
Yes.
they're pretending that Florida doesn't have an extradition treaty with the United States of America.
Yeah. No. When gangsters try to do this, they usually go to a foreign country. They don't try to hide in Florida. They retire to Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, Capone retired to Florida and died of syphilis, which is pretty much where Trump is headed. But I think, I think retiring, saying that, you know, you're this is the problem with Godfather 2. You know, this is the, you know, he tried to get out of the country. He tried to go to Israel, but you know what? He had to come back, and that's when they got him. So Trump ain't going anywhere unless Florida secedes from the Union and declares themselves Trumpistan, which, you know, Florida's in a weirder shape.
Well, and it's
that.
Too hot to golf in Florida in the summer, and so he wants to go to New Jersey.
Right.
To Bedford, Bedminster. So
Bedminster. Go, do it.
He's got this habit, you know, of I golf up there in the winter, in the summertime.
Former aide accused U.S. Representative Doug Lamborn of Colorado of allowing his son to live in a storage space in the basement in the U.S. Capitol for several weeks and recklessly exposing staffers to the novel coronavirus, according to a lawsuit filed in federal court Thursday.
His own staff is suing him for getting everybody sick.
Yeah.
And what came out in that is he let his son live in the basement of the Capitol building.
Yeah.
In a storage room.
Yeah. I just, okay.
Classy.
Yeah.
Real classy.
Yeah.
A network of conservative activists aided by a British former spy mounted a campaign during the Trump administration to discredit perceived enemies of President Trump inside the government, according to documents and people involved in the operations. The operations against the FBI, run by the conservative group Project Veritas, we know them, that's James O'Keefe's group, were conducted from a large home in the Georgetown section of Washington that rented for $10,000 a month. Female undercover operatives arranged dates with FBI employees with the aim of secretly recording them making disparaging comments about Trump.
Good God.
You're trying to infiltrate the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
That is COINTELPRO from outside the government.
Yeah.
And it's treason.
If you're going to use sex to infiltrate government security, you throw some Trump chicks at Secret Service agents. That's how you do it.
You mean Trump family chicks?
Yes, Trump family. Trump ladies. Trump family ladies. You throw them at the Secret Service and, you know, they bed down with them and you learn all their secrets. James O'Keefe, you know, I think I said this last week. Somewhere, G. Gordon Liddy is rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
57% of unvaccinated adults said a $1,000 savings bond would persuade them to get a COVID-19 vaccine. And 57% of unvaccinated adults who are employed said they would get vaccinated if it were required to work in person.
This isn't a big principle thing on their part.
No, it's if you have a big enough carrot or a big enough stick, you can either tempt these people or club them into doing the right thing.
And now Talladega is giving people a chance to drive around the track twice in their own car if you get a shot. So we, as I said on Facebook, Ricky Bobby is saying, thank you, baby Jesus, watching your baby Einstein videos and learning about colors and shapes.
I am looking forward to some redneck with a Humvee full of, you know, hoarded gas,
actually having
the Ricky Bobby fire and running around the track going, I'm on fire. That to me would be worth bribing some idiots to do the right thing that they won't do otherwise.
House Democrats in the White House reached an agreement to allow Don McGahn to testify before Congress about Trump's efforts to obstruct Robert Mueller's investigation.
And the January 6th House insurrection hearings were every bit the joke we knew they'd be. This is from Brother Charlie Pearson, Esquire magazine. The depressing spectacle was the House Oversight and Reform Committee's Wednesday hearing on January 6th insurrection had two redeeming factors to it. First, it was the final bit of evidence that creating a bipartisan 9/11 style commission to investigate it is now a doomed and futile snipe hunt. There are simply no good faith partners in the minority party. And second, it gave us a preview of the new Republican talking points, all of which seem to be sliding in the direction of a day in which the violent wilding at the Capitol didn't happen at all, or at the very least was a minor disturbance by some small group of mysterious agitators. And didn't the former president actually say the words peaceful and patriotic from the rostrum that day? And didn't he pronounce both of them correctly?
Yes, he did.
He did. He said them both right.
We love you guys. Happy May. Enjoy the nice weather if you can. We're thinking about you.
Yeah. And we're going to, I now that there's no mask mandate, I, yesterday afternoon, when the first thing I heard, I took my pants off. I went outside. They told
that
me.
That wasn't what they told you to do, yeah. Dear Glenn.
Well, and then some sweaty gentlemen who might have been generals, very handsome, they looked like Tom Cruise, ran up to me and said, sir, sir, please put your pants back on, please. This is a Wendy's drive-thru, sir, and we really need you to put your pants back on. I said, but I'm free. I've gotten the shot. Would you like to see the spot where they gave me the shot? And they said, no, sir, you're right about most things, but you really have to dial this down. And that's when they brought me home and my wife put me in bed, and now I'm here.
Okay. Hey, each week we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitties are a pair of brothers, Smokey and Oscar.
Ooh.
They are 3 years old, and their hobbies include finding sunny sunspots. We know all about that.
Yes, we do.
And also, they like to pretend to be kittens. Even though they're 3 years old, they're still pretending to be kittens all the time.
Oh, please.
And of course, Smokey and Oscar eat freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your cats will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Smokey and Oscar at our Facebook page or website. You can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. We will be reading letters and emails on the air on our letter show, which is Memorial Day weekend. We will be recording that on May 29th. So get those letters and cards and emails into us, please. Hashtag fire DeJoy. It's about time. Yes. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job, and it's a labor of love. And we don't get called by MSNBC bookers.
We don't.
For $70,000 a year.
We don't. We'd like to. That'd be great. That'd be great. You know what? We would even be willing to drop our fake sponsor if necessary.
We drop freshly poured?
Well, really? To avoid conflict with the actual sponsors that are the people who give MSNBC the money to hire people like us. So
maybe if I did a rap version of Freshly Poured, Ari Melber would have me on.
He very well might. You know as Blue Gal said in her song, Freshly Poured, freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord. It's freshly poured.
That is a wonderful impersonation of Ari Melber.
I'm kind of unshaven right now, so, you know.
Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can, too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal, postal address information, Patreon, merch, all of it is there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media, and thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Oh, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties were saddened to learn that during the pandemic, Gwyneth Paltrow got so low, she stopped eating delicious, freshly poured Gwyneth Paltrow chow and began eating, I can't even say it, bread.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional F Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2021 DGBG Productions.